Welcome to Bill Mackay of the University of Auckland's Architecture School.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Part two of It's All in Our Backyard.
Yep. And I heard the word lumpy mentioned in the political discussion, smoothie before, and now we go to totally tangled up.
So, well done.
On a Saturday, basically, I talked last time about how I can look at a range of building code compliant cabins online and buy one and get it dropped in my backyard or assembled there in a couple of weeks. So the building side of things isn't a problem. And I'm also told that I don't need building consent for it if it's under 30 square meters. That's about the size of a double garage, a bit less actually. And that's from a recent government loosening up. It used to be 10 square metres, a garden shed. But it's way more complicated than that. So I talked last time about why all the complications, and now this time I am going to slash the red tape. And it wasn't my phrase, is the solution to housing and the housing crisis in our own backyards, and people can hear about that in part one, because I've got a more wide-ranging kind of prescription for that. But for backyards, we can make a big difference in housing our whānau. So what I'm doing here may not sound all that radical, but when you sum up all the little moves, you'll notice that I have kept the councils completely out of it. They won't like that, but I will carry on and go through it. So at the moment, just in terms of building consent issues, and then we'll come to planning issues and then legal. In building consent issues, I can do 30 square meter building in my backyard without building consent. I can just do it. That's about 5 by 6 meters, like I say, a bit less than the double garage. And that's one story. I would allow 5 to 5.5 square meters of height on that as well, in order to allow a mezzanine, not a second floor, but a mezzanine of a maximum size, say 22 square meters or something. And that's going to allow you to sleep, a couple to sleep up there. So it's about 52 square meters, and plus you could do decks. I would also say, currently, a sleep out is okay, but not a dwelling with plumbing and drainage. I would allow showers and basins and sinks. That's what we call grey water. And toilets that were self-contained or so-called self-contained, they still have to be emptied, like in a camper van or something, or systems that allowed on-site disposal, composting toilets, electric toilets, by a licensed designer and manufacturer. That may sound odd to people, but they have been available in New Zealand for at least 15 years or so. I've put them into a couple of jobs. And I would say you don't need to approach the council for that, as long as the work was done by a licensed building practitioner person, because we've got that regime going at the moment. It's the same as if you got a plumber or an electrician around to your house at the moment for stuff that didn't require a building consent. Same thing. I would allow connection of drains, but you would need to talk to the council about that, because that's a council system, so fair enough. Rainwater disposal, the current regulations are concerned with that for 30 square metres, but, collecting that rainwater and reusing it, put a little pump in and flush toilets with it, have a shower in it, that all makes sense, and farmers survive in the country doing that okay. Fire's a bit of an issue. If you build within a metre of a boundary, I'd say you can't have windows on that wall. You've got to have a non-flammable cladding, such as corrugated tin or something, and a layer of fireproof lining on the inside of a wall, which can be a couple of layers of chipboard or something. That's no major drama. In terms of planning consents, and that's the can of spaghetti I mentioned at the beginning when I was talking about entanglement, all councils have different planning rules. So depending on where you are in the country, a lot of Wellington, actually, oddly, Wellington doesn't have many side and rear yard requirements, but in the rest of the country, they're very common. In where I live in Auckland, which is kind of city fringe, it's a 1 meter side yard, but in the suburbs, those side yards can be 3 meters. I think most people stick with a 1 meter yard because it's easy to access for construction. You can park your wheelie bins there, put a bit of planting, you know, a hedge for privacy. I would say that 30 square meter footprint building with a mezzanine is exempt from rules regarding side yards if you're a meter from the boundary. Also exempt from site coverage, permeable, impermeable surfaces, height to boundary controls. People won't know what I'm talking about there, but these are the complications that I know so well that tangle up. People try to do it on their own. So you're effectively getting a bonus on top of everything there in terms of planning rules, and you do not need to go near the council. Planners at the council at the moment will be throwing up their hands in horror as I say this. I'd also say that if you've got a permeable deck, timber decking, or a porous synthetic paving or gravel, that's all okay as well. Don't worry about it. If you want to hang up a fabric or plastic canopy, that's fine as well. Go for it. And the cherry on the cake, you can have, in addition to all of this, a 10 square meter shed. One thing that I am a bit strict on is that you've got to have a private, sunny, outdoor living space of a certain size, 10 square meters or so, enough to sit outside with someone else, have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine in the sun. How do you enforce that? I don't know yet. But everything else, go for it. Trees. I am worried about trees. The last government, the national government, when they first came in, we had a general tree protection that protected virtually every tree in the country, natives over 6 metres, deciduous over 8, something like that. And that was knocked over, and we got a big backyard slaughter everywhere. I would reinstate a general tree protection because we do need to stop our cities turning into heat islands, and we do need to provide for flora and fauna, and also trees are great for privacy, amenity, shade, all those sorts of things. But I would say that you could have a certain percentage of your building under the drip zone of a tree that's over the roots, because that's generally not allowed for significant trees at the moment. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but to someone who's in the game, this is actually loosening up a lot. And the key thing is that I would have one government website that told you all of this, and bingo, away you go. And that keeps you away from councils, which can take time and money. We can have a little chat about how you enforce or monitor this kind of thing, but I would say turn the tap on, review it after 5 years and see what happens. Also, in terms of, okay, how do I find a land and how do I build it? Well, if anyone wants to lease a bit of their backyard for at least 5 years or 10 years, I would make that binding on new owners if it was sold. It's a bit like selling a commercial building that's got tenants in there, you know, who have got a tenancy arrangement for, you know, several years or so. And I would also allow people to raise a loan, a government loan or a mortgage even, on the basis of having a 5 or 10 year lease on a chunk of land and enabled to be afforded to build your tiny house there. So I'm leaning heavily on the licensed building practitioner regime at the moment. And another time, there's other things I'll talk about next time, but I will come back to this as well and talk about Tommy Honey's Slimby shared living in my backyard, which is similar, the tiny house movement, and Prefab New Zealand Snug designs. They ran a competition for 70 square meter houses. So I'll come back and talk about, you know, with actual pictures of good stuff. But I am aware all the way through this that we have a tension between landlords exploiting this kind of thing.
Exactly. You don't want sort of slums and ghettos popping up. Really fascinating stuff. Thanks so much. Bill Mackay, Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland. Ka kite anō.